Let's welcome everybody into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our Leaf Hour edition of our program. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. And wherever you get your download on your favorite podcast, which we hope is us.
Yeah.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. In about 35 minutes, we'll welcome in Gord Stellick and we'll go over the Toronto Maple Leafs and what we witnessed again last night. But first of all, it comes with great sadness to learn of the passing of Sean Simpson, former professional hockey player and broadcaster in the Ottawa area. Sean was someone that I got to know through turning professional hockey in the mid-80s with the Washington Capitals. He was a third-round selection at the time, coming off of Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds.
Goalie.
In the OHL, yeah, and a good goalie at that. So I know we'll get into that a little bit more. And remembering Sean with Jason York, who will join us at the top of the hour, co-host of the Coming in Hot Sens podcast, and we'll talk a little Sean Simpson and what a tremendous loss that is to the Ottawa
family, for sure.
Community.
Yep.
In the meantime,
we have to talk about that game.
We have to, as trivial as it may seem, you know, in the big picture today.
Yep.
Toronto Maple Leafs dropped their third consecutive game in a row, something that, I don't know, seems like a more of a common theme these days.
Yeah.
JB.
Buddy, that felt like Clockwork Orange, having to watch that show. And I know that's an older reference, but I believe they prop open someone's eyelids with toothpicks and force them to watch something. It's a slog right now trying to watch these Maplers, injured Maple Leafs, try to put pucks in the net. Minnesota shuts it down pretty tight, and they just couldn't generate a whole heck of a lot last night. Have fun, Sammy?
No.
Okay.
Zero.
Do you want to get Craig Berube's thoughts? Because I don't know if... I think... Yeah, let's go to Craig Berube first, because I think Sam will just kind of take this in...
His overview?
In his Maple Leaf way he can.
Okay.
All right, Craig Berube.
We gave up the first goal. You know, we got to win that battle down there below our goal line. We had coverage in front, but I guess just... got through us. We gotta be better there. We're down 1-0. Their power play goal. We tip the puck in. You know, like we just got. That's a play there. We gotta block that shot. We don't not with your stick. So we made a couple mistakes, but we battled. I thought, you know, we had a lot of shot attempts and pucks. They blocked a lot of shots. So, you know, in the end, we got to do a better job of getting those through, finding some lanes. You know, I think sometimes when you're not scoring and things aren't going in, you take a little extra second to shoot and try to get a little bit too cute at times. I'm not saying we got cute tonight, but just not quick enough on and off shooting. But we had chances. It's a tough stretch right now with scoring. That's the bottom line. So it's got to battle through it.
I didn't get a chance. I don't know if you did. Before we get to Sammy on just the data and the analytics, and again, over the years, I've gotten to know things that I've liked, things that I don't like. Yeah. But I think the data last night suggested that they weren't as bad as maybe some people, including our Sammy, might have thought.
Yeah. Well, I think the best line was good. Like the Matthews-Marner line, they, according to my data, controlled 70% of the expected goals when they were out there. Shot attempts are 26-12 when they were on the ice at even strength. They did pretty good. Beyond that, not a whole lot to love. It was fine. They just didn't create anything. Pretty low chance generation. But no, they didn't like... It wasn't like it was a highway towards their net. They just can't get it going.
Okay, Sam.
Yes.
Your concern meter seems to be very high. Just for the record.
Yeah.
Like, again, before the show, we get together, you know, early in the afternoon. And, man, you were just chomping to get a few things in. And it got to the point where I'm like, stop it. I felt like a dad.
You did.
Because you started talking about the game last night. And I'm like, stop it. Save it for the show. If I'll turn this car right around if you keep talking.
If this show is a catchphrase,
get off the floor, stop playing with the dogs, and go to school.
If this show is a catchphrase that people don't know about, it save it, save it,
save it,
save it,
save it.
Just as soon as you start talking, we blew.
So thank you, Sammy, for saving it for the show. So let her rip.
I'm looking at on Daily Faceoff. They do a good job of showing the lines and the last 10 game stats for the Toronto Maple Leafs and for all the teams, and for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I go through their team, and there's 5 different forwards that have 0 goals in their last 10 games.
Yeah.
5 forwards on your team, and the other ones.
Surprised it's just 5.
And then the other ones, You go 1 goal, 1 goal, 2 goals.
Now we're talking.
2 goals. They just, if it's not the big boys, it's nobody. I know they're hurt. But it's just a really unenjoyable product to watch at the moment. And I know a lot of Leaf fans are feeling the same way. You talked about the malaise, the dog days. This is not just the dog days for the guys playing it. It's the dog days for the fans. They've been watching these guys for 8 years. Hey, there's a lot of pent-up stuff. It just sucks to watch.
And I'm not specifically talking to the Leafs, but in general, I'm not seeing a very good product.
It's not.
And of NHL hockey.
Yeah.
And is it... because of this Four Nations tournament, is it because you've squeezed more out specifically? Maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs with 10 back-to-back games in like the first 40-plus games.
Yeah. Doesn't help, but I mean, it depends. If you chalk up their injuries to that, then yes. But okay. I do think the Leafs have spent a quarter of their season missing 4 or 5 forwards at a time. Like big numbers of often important forwards. So, you know, I did, coming in here today, I'm all hopped up on, you know, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And part of me is like, are we not giving enough credit to the fact that they are genuinely missing, you know, John Tavares, who's a, you know, a big part of their team, and Nyes,
and looks more important every game he's out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I do feel a little bit like, you know, want to pound them, but at the same time, got to have a little bit of mercy based on that.
One of my buddies sent me one of the comments from Leafs Talk last night, and I'm not a comment reader, so you can say mean things. I'm never going to see it. But someone sent me this one and said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I miss the Keefe Leafs. I know Berube's systems are better suited for playoff success, but it's just so damn boring to watch on a lot of nights. It's like watching Italy play soccer. Turtle shell defense with 0 offense.
Well,
there's something to be said.
No one will say that if they win a cup. If
for
they win
sure.
2 rounds.
Know, but there is an adjustment period here for the fans.
We don't be too fancy.
Try to make a comment without the if part.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, that's all there is if and hope.
Yeah.
And we know how we feel about those words. It's like, how much, okay, I get it too. Like the injuries and the back-to-backs and no one really playing with anybody without getting the bingo bangle balls out sometimes. But like, how much is said to dump and chase? How much is like, they're not creating. Mm-hmm. That to me is the biggest thing that I watch now, is that like, and I, you know how I felt. And I know that at times I've talked about Matthews and Tavares, about the heartbeat of a hockey club is your first two centermen, and they're not great creators. They're very good at shooting the puck in the net, and one of them's the best in the world. But they don't necessarily create, and now it's spread out through the roster, the lack of creativity.
Yeah. Buddy, I'm dying that no one else could shoot it in the net but him. It's just Austin. Like, I know you want Mitch to, he's the distributor, and he is having a special season. But there's been 30 games since November. Mitch has scored in 4 of them. Yeah. Like, you know, like no one else can put a puck in the net for this team.
And then I watch Austin.
Willie can.
And
right.
Austin's got 1 assist in 9 games. So there's, he can finish, but he's not distributing. He's not creating either. And then you go down the roster, and then it's 0 out of anybody. And then the back end is the worst.
It ain't those guys.
It's the worst. They're the worst scoring for creativity too. It is them.
No, I'm saying it's not Mitch and Austin.
No, it's everybody.
Yes.
It's everybody.
Those guys, right? we're on them because there's the guys who's supposed to do it or whatever, but it's everyone else. So, and we've seen it. It doesn't work when you can't, when you have nothing behind these guys.
So we've talked that this is a better built team for the playoffs.
Well,
right. Yeah. And now it's kind of, you're losing that luster a little bit because playoffs have to be about creating too.
Yes. And we know the
score just shutting down.
Well, and that's because the core, and this goes back to a conversation we've had here for years, which is, can you tape grit to that core? All surround it with grit and whatever. And that's what they've tried to do. The bottom six forwards are all pretty, you know, strong physical forecheck type guys. But it can't be at a cost of not being able to produce. And again, the injuries are definitely a part of this, but it's becoming very evident that whoever they get needs to be able to score. Max Domi not being able to score is killing them.
But they don't pass the puck. And it's like what you said, what, a month ago? They're the worst team for passing the puck in the offensive zone.
They're down there last I checked. Right?
They're, and I'm watching again Minnesota, and I don't think for one second Minnesota is that much better of a hockey club than the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they seem to keep pucks a lot more alive. They passed the puck better to me last night.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they did. I just, to me, it's roster. You know, it's, and I agree that there's a chance, and there's a very good chance, that the way they're constructed, it doesn't work. That's
or not constructed, or just like overcoached with the dump and chase and straight lines and get pucks to the net. And it's just, it's too simple, it's too predictable, and it's easy to check.
And it's certainly not, you know, there's never a day where the solution is.
Well, I'm interested in that. But like, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to say, this feels like, it's like such a faux pas for a coach to say, he wants east-west, right? Like every coach, the solution is we got to be more direct. We got to get pucks to the net. We got to get bodies to the net. I don't know, because Keefe didn't win a cup, I guess, it's a massive sin to say we'd like to hang on to it. We'd like to create. We'd like to go east-west. But, like, you got to have a little of that element.
But the blue line is not a east-west blue line. It's a Benoit, north-south, McCabe, north,
OEL,
south.
Timmins, Riley, they should be able to.
But they're not.
No, they're not.
But they're
even
not.
Last night, OEL gets a puck in the slot, and he's like fading away from the net as he shoots it into the goalie's glove.
But
like,
there's no east-west, and I'm looking at Spurgeon last night and Brock Faber, and they're like, they got a better handle on pace of play for their hockey club than anybody has for pace of play on the Leaf blue line right now.
So, you mentioned the overcoaching or whatever. Are you concerned about the match here, the matchup? Because you said earlier in the season that you were thought there's going to be an adjustment period between this core and this team and Berube's style. But we're getting into January, the longest month of all time here. But we're almost in February. Yeah. We got the break coming up. Like, are you a little concerned about it?
I am a little concerned that what was working in the first half is now starting to tighten up. And we've always said this, that it gets harder as the months go on. And matchups and style of play in that first round when you've got a week of prep and a book this thick on every player and every tendency and every X and O that they've played over the course of 82 games gets a game plan against. Yeah, you got to make adjustments.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
And I see the same thing over and over again out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just pucks to the net, get it in deep. And there are times when there's too many pucks to the net and they're bad angles and they're one and done.
Yeah. To me, if I'm an offensive player, it takes me for granted. You know, like we're just going to play this thoughtless style, and not thoughtless. I understand that there is, it's from a place of playoff success. But, you know, if you're a guy like Marner or Willie or whatever, they're like, you guys will figure out how to score within this system. We're going to tell everyone to do this basic stuff. You're so good, you'll figure it out. And it's like, can I get a little leeway then? Like, can we try a few things? I don't know. It just feels, because, again, no one else scores every time we look at these guys and go, you got to score every single game.
Like, if he changed it up a little bit, like, is there a chance that Kampf can score more goals, or
maybe
Domi can score more goals, or Nick can score more goals?
I don't know.
Or Holmberg?
Holmberg is a fine hockey skill set, big, strong, whatever. He may have the least offensive instincts of anyone I've watched play for the Leafs for a long time.
Well,
all these years.
I mean, the coach said he had way more to give offensively yesterday, which I definitely didn't agree with.
Maybe he does.
I don't know.
We haven't seen it.
Can I ask you two about this? Because I was watching the game last night, and, you know, the group chats are warm about how bad the Leafs look or whatever. And that's just such, to me, a defibrillator game where you don't have a lot of skill throughout your lineup. Whatever you're doing, you're banging your head against the wall. I know Matthews and Marner look good together. We know they look good together. We know they can have the puck in the offensive zone. It was such an obvious throw it in the blender night where you're playing a sleepy game at an outside. And it just feels like he's been so the only time he ever does it is when they're down like 4-0 or 4-1 or like the game's out of reach. Like, wouldn't you like to see them get split up last night? Spread a little bit of offense life throughout the lineup. There's just so little throughout the lineup when these guys are out. I don't know. I just no.
Yeah, I would have been all in favor of trying something.
It's just
okay. I'm going to make my comment after I hear from Craig Berube on the lack of scoring.
Well, there's always things. Like, I mean, you can nitpick every little thing, right? And you know, be in front of the goalie more, do this better, do that better. You know, there's a lot of things, and we're always on it, and we're looking for different ways to score and guys that can do a better job. You know, we just got to stick with the plan. We just got to stick with how, you know, our game and not get off track. We'll score. We'll get the goals.
Just more of the same.
That's taking it for granted to me.
Stick with the plan, baby.
Yeah.
Right? So, and okay, brought this up in the last few shows is just try to slide Max in there with Austin, but he doesn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, you just based on what we're seeing, he clearly doesn't want to. You know, it's funny because you start looking for solutions. It's like all of a sudden Brandon Saad looks really good. You know, somebody.
This team desperately needs offensive help outside the organization. They need something.
He's gone to a, I don't know if it's a priority level, but they're looking into it right now for sure in terms of what it could cost. And I don't know if the marketplace has been established yet.
Right.
For Saad, but the Leafs will be in it, I think, until they see a number they don't like.
Think so, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how you can't be when you're watching.
Especially last night.
I'd heard the Oilers also interested.
Yeah. But I don't know. I look up and down this roster and they've tried the defensive thing. And sure, they've got enough guys with a defensive conscience, but we know what's going to happen when they get into these tight playoff games. There's 8 years of evidence, except 1 year where they got past the first round. You need scoring on this team.
The year they won the round, where they went an OT 2-1?
Yes. I mean, every game they play, like everybody's like, oh, they got to improve the decor. They got to improve the systems. They won every game in the first round last year was 2-1 or 3-2.
Yeah.
They played fine deep. Like they were good defensively. They got some saves. Like they were okay. They just can't score. And it just feels like we're kind of trending towards a similar fate here, fellas. It really does.
Well, that's not helping the power play again. They cannot get energy at the right time from the power play.
They don't get power plays. They've been way down.
They're not drawing them at all.
So
let's find out the stats on that. Morgan's starting to take the heat.
It's interesting. The one view we had of, or the one clip that we already had of Berube, and I know he mentioned Morgan later on, and we'll get to those clips, but in that specific clip that we heard, he mentioned that we cannot lose a battle down low, but he doesn't specifically mention Morgan Rielly, but it was Morgan's battle that he lost that led to the first goal.
Mm-hmm. He's having a hard time, and what's tough now is, like, we're on him, and I don't mean us. I just mean media, fans, the city. Like, he's aware now, I think, that he's becoming not a topic, but the topic.
Yes.
And you want to give him, at least in this town, he does get the benefit of the doubt. Ed.
Not sure anymore.
Well, I don't know. I'm watching the first intermission with our guys and our, you know, Sammy Cause, you know, what did he say after 20 minutes, right? This guy needs a break. He needs a, you know, vacation, take the family, go to the beach. And I'm like going, but he's got 40 minutes to go in this game and he's got four more games out west.
Yeah.
Can the Leafs get him to play better before you send him to Expedia.ca? right?
Yeah.
It's like there's still meat on the bone here.
Four big ones.
Four more. But like everybody's like written this guy off on a vacation and get a break and get away from it all. And you're a new dad. And
God, if he had had half a decent year, he might be on Team Canada. You know, he was a guy that was mentioned with Josh Morrissey and that type of player. He was,
right?
You know, good season. He'd have been there. So it is a stark change.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on Morgan Rielly.
Can Morgan play better? Yes, he can. We all know that. He knows that, and he's trying to work through it right now. So, again, like our team, it's a team game. It's not all on Morgan. Yes, he's a guy that we need offense from the back end. And, you know, he's just got to stick with it, and we'll keep working at it. We'll try to help him as much as we can.
What else can you say?
What do you think, like, if you're, I'm going to ask you both, if you're both Craig Berube, and you're, you know, one of those meetings they have on the ice after practice, guys are firing pucks around, and he goes over, puts his arm around Morgan Rielly, and he's giving him advice, what would he say to him, boys?
For me, it's very much the same conversation as he had with Willie Nylander, where it's like, I'm not trying to change him.
I'm not trying to figure out. I'm trying to hear him out. Yeah.
You know, I would like to hear from Morgan. Do you feel different? Is there something that's happening or that, you know, you don't like your partner?
No, I think it's completely opposite from Willie.
Okay.
And I got two words for him. Play faster. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
He's too slow to go back. He's too slow coming up the ice. He thinks he has more time than he has. He is playing slow. There's no pace of play for him at all. Mm-hmm. And he's got to get faster. Mm. You want to be a guy that can drive play? You want to be our number one defenseman? You got to pick up your pace of play. It's not good enough. He's too lackadaisical back there. The first goal was he's too slow. It's soft. He tried to make a bump up to Holmberg up the middle with his back towards the wall. It's like too casual. Mm-hmm. Everything's casual and slow. He's faster than this. We've seen it before. He's not 37. He's 30.
Right. Yeah.
He can get faster again. I don't know what that means, but is it mental? Is it physical? Is it both?
Yeah.
But play faster.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking at his skating stats on NHL Edge to kind of see where he is. His, like, top skating speed is in the 72nd percentile. Last year it was in the 85th percentile. So his top speed has slowed down from last year, if that means anything. That's one burst over the course of the season. But
I'm sorry, that's 14% difference?
Yeah. Yeah, and his speed burst
5 is a big deal.
Speed burst over 20 miles per hour. Last year, he was in the 96th percentile. So for the amount of speed burst over 20, and this year he is in the 83rd percentile. So another 13% drop. So he is not playing at a speed that he has played with and in the past.
See, that's where I like data, when it backs me up. Yeah.
I call that confirmation bias, my friend.
But that is legitimate. He is.
And the thing with him is the biggest strength of his game is his pace and his feet and being able to fly up
not
and down
anymore.
The ice. And it's like, if that's going away, then what? So, I think.
Do we have another one on Morgan through
the only
through
thing
Craig
you
Berube?
Can do when you're a good skater like Morgan to try to get faster is what? Lose 5 pounds?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, get lighter?
Again, I don't
that's
know.
That's what LeBron did as he got older, right?
Is it a conditioning thing with
Who
him?
Who knows?
Right?
You're tired. You got no ability to, you know, wake up at 5 a.m. The kid's like, I don't know, give me a 6 granola bars.
Did you have a second?
There's another one on his where he's at in terms of his.
Okay, stick with it.
Yeah, clip 2.
No, he's a good pro. I mean, he just comes to work and he keeps it pretty quiet to himself. You know, he knows that he wants to be better and he's just trying to work through it. I mean, and we're trying to help him. That's as coaches, that's our job.
Hey, if it wasn't a great pro, to your point a little earlier, maybe he'd be taking a lot more heat. But one way or another, if it doesn't improve, it's coming.
It's really hard to imagine a world where the Leafs don't get through in playoffs and the guy who said the right things, worked hard, and been pretty good in the postseason is the one they would, like, move on from or do something about. It feels like he's going to be here. So it's a matter of figuring this out much as we did the Riley for Miller thing.
You know, I love my cross-sport references in baseball, which that guy who listens hates baseball. But oftentimes, if you have one of your top three hitters or top four hitters in the lineup, say Bo Bichette, for example, and he's over his last 10 games, he's hitting like under 100. You move him down to the six hole. Mm-hmm. You move him down to the seven hole. You let him get out of the spotlight of the top four of the lineup, and you let him, like, at what point here, you got to diminish his role a bit.
That's actually a really good point. You get Timmons.
He's off the power play. They can't take him off anymore.
Stop
power
splitting
plays
up the best defensive pair in the league defensively to try to shoehorn this guy in there that's killing you a lot of nights. You have to just diminish the role more. I'm sorry, but it's just not been good.
I mean, hey, it's a suggestion. In a world where you're looking for answers.
I wrote an article today in the Toronto Star with Rantanen and Marner as a comparable, and the biggest one with Rantanen in Colorado is like the tough love that they showed Rantanen. It's like
in this case, like with
in the contract case where it's like, hey, this is it. Don't like it? Gone. Mm-hmm. Out. And of course, there's a huge difference between no move and limited move, but clearly, the Leafs haven't shown over the last 8, 9, 10 years that they want to go down that path of tough love, Sammy. Diminishing and tough love.
You're telling me. I know.
Is Morgan have a limited no move or something?
Complete no move up until I think the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, in his deal. But they need them, guys. That's the bottom line. I think that's why you won't see that tough love, is because at this critical point of the season, going into the playoffs with what, under 30 games to go, like,
they got to get healthy.
Can't lose them.
You got to get healthy. You got to get Morgan going. And I more than ever believe that they need offensive help here. Yeah. You know,
there's a rut in this season right now. In Florida and Tampa Bay, everybody's hitting walls.
Yeah. It's true. I am concerned by some of the rumblings I hear around the Leafs, and I don't know what you're hearing, Kip, but like, it doesn't feel like they feel like they have to make a big move. It doesn't feel to me like the Leafs are shopping for Dylan Cousins as much as I want them to. I mean,
those are really hard in-season deals.
Of course.
And we've just seen a big one that hasn't happened in years in Rantanen.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they think necessarily that has to be the answer. I don't know how they're going to feel in like 3 weeks coming off of, you hope the West can calm things down. The Western trip here, it's going to be tough. Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Seattle. It will be tough. But if they can manage a way to get...
just get through it 2-2 and get to the break. That's
five,
what you're
five
for.
Out of 8 points, right? Yeah. You're going to be fine.
It does feel like more than the last week of school. It feels like we're doing the last week of school thing for 3 weeks here. Like, there's still lots of hockey to go.
Tons of hockey.
I think another, you know, if we're doing things that are upsetting some Leaf fans, I think the play of Max Domi here has to be brought up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the signing of him. I was really excited about it. I love what he represents. I love the last name. I love the way he plays when he's at his best. But him making the most out of any non-core four forward for this team at this point and what he's given them, it's a tough spot here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe they try him with Matthews and those guys to get him going. They try to figure something out. But right now, it's a sore spot for Leaf fans because he's really not giving them enough, fellas. He's not.
I'm not seeing a lot of chemistry out of Craig Berube and Max Domi.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah.
Really? Well, like in terms of what?
Well, I don't know how much Craig Berube prioritizes finding a way to get Max going, which to me is the ultimate one is put him with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good point. It does feel like you shouldn't have to jumpstart the guy who just got the new contract.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough. You know, I get killed sometimes and I'm like, yeah, you know what? Kerfoot wasn't bad at 3.5. It's like, he gave you 50 even strength points when killed penalties. You know, that's the same dollars. Actually, it's more dollars for Max. What are you getting? So, you know, it's like chunky and I think you should leave.
Yeah.
It's like, what's your thing? What do you do? You got to figure that out.
Yeah. I just, I'm so hesitant to get on him because, like I said, I love the player. I love what he represents. I love what he did last year. He was really good. He's first guy into every fight. Looks like he cares. Like, I love it.
Yeah, it's not personal judgment on the person who we like.
The offense out of him. They really do. He's one of the guys outside the core that's most important.
He was a depth guy.
Yeah.
He was that guy that could come in
and chip in
50 legit points and move up and down your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, last year he's 47 points. In 23, he's 49 points. Like, there's some years in there where it's like, okay, this guy can do it. So, more than last year, too.
And it's just, I've never yelled shoot at my TV more. Like, I Cabrelet, I guess, had some moments when I was a kid where I'd be yelling him to shoot, but like, just
can I leave it on a good note?
Yes.
Joseph Woll still gave him a chance to get points at the end of the game.
What a goalie.
Okay. So at least it's still there, the goaltending. Yeah. But I mean, I certainly.
And a breakaway for Willie.
Don't want to continue to put pressure on Woll and Stolarz to now keep teams under two goals every night.
You'd like to give them three here and there.
You know, the other thing that kind of bothered me last night is pulling the goalie. Like, there's about 2.5 minutes to go, and Austin and Marner and Willie are going out there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but like, think about this for a second. You're really putting them out there to stay out there for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I assume there'd be a timeout in there.
It has to be managed a little better because now I'm watching with a minute to go, Marner going back and trying to lug the puck up under a minute, and he's spent.
I saw the clock at 45 seconds, and I was like, they don't have a timeout already.
They're done. He can't make a play. He can't think. We've all been in that position. Oh, yeah. Once the oxygen's out of our head, we're like, right? Yeah. You can't think.
There's no oxygen in the studio. Nothing.
I thought they were, I mean, they were really good after they scored for like, what was it, 12 minutes of a game? But it turns out you can't play 12 minutes of a game and win. But I thought they were really good after they scored, but it just didn't have enough. Gustafson made some good saves towards the end. But
anyways.
Yeah, and to be fair, he did play well. Goalie played pretty well.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, Stellectricity is in the house. Gord Stellick, analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and former general manager, will join us next. Don't go away. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. All right. He's wonderful. He's talented. Put your hands together for the lovely Gord Stellick. Hello, Gordo.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
Well, I am good. I'm just waiting to deliver some Stellectricity kiosks down to the Maple Leaf dressing room. I think they could use some.
Good. We're really happy to hear that because Sammy's down. He's a little down right now. We need some positive Stellectricity in the house here. How do Sammy and Leaf fans kind of get rejuvenated? Because it seems like everybody's waiting for this Four Nations break and how much they talk about Morgan Riley needing it more than anyone. But still some important games here coming up on the West Coast here, Gord.
Yeah, there are. And also, you know, Kippy and Justin, it's just important to get back. Like, again, peaks and valleys, right? So you can't, when you're a better team, have the valleys, you know, be that low. Like, you got to get back on track. I mean, it really is the dog days. I found January, whether you're on the fortunate to be on the media side like we are, or when you're working or playing, like, it's a grind. It's a real, real grind. And there's been, and it's funny, when they're losing, it's reminded me of the Roger Nielsen days, that there's a certain system that you play as a team, but when you lose, it's boring, right? So that's kind of been another element. So just a lot of things have not been going their way. I think the one positive thing, it's off the ice. And again, it didn't work a couple of years ago when they were in the All-Canadian division, because that appeared to be a weak division. But guys, look at the last 2 years, how the Eastern teams coming back to the pack, Boston, Tampa Bay, the New York Rangers, like really Florida stands alone. Washington certainly has been an exciting team and had a great season. But in the West, there's so many great teams in the West compared to the East. And I think, you know, Carolina making that bold trade shows, boy, you've got a much easier path to go deep in the playoffs. But again, I repeat, that happened that one year in the Canadian division. So the most promising news I can give to Sammy is nothing on the ice, but off the ice.
Do you think that Craig Berube's experience coaching a team that was not far and away the most talented elite group in the St. Louis Blues all the way to winning a Stanley Cup influences the lack of panic or lack of urgency, depending on where you sit, that he shows in his interviews when talking about this team? Because it seems like, you know, they lose three in a row and he's like, yeah, they've been pretty good. They're working hard. It'll go in soon. You know, is it maybe just his influence, just knowing that you don't have to be electric and high flying all the time to have success in the playoffs?
Well, I think fans are ready for anything, willing to accept anything, because the flat out, they just haven't had that success. And, you know, Justin, let's face it, Sheldon Keefe did a great job, great record as a coach, but he came in as a replacement to Mike Babcock as the team was going down the sewer and about to mutiny, whereas Craig Berube comes with kind of what Babcock arrived with, you know, that kind of big star cachet. So people sit back and kind of see if he can work his magic or whatever it is. And we look at, much like, you know, Kippy has 1994, the year it all came together with the Rangers. Like, we're thinking of that year with the Blues, but then after that, they only won one playoff series the next 4 years. Or, you know, so it's not like it was something year after year after year, but I think that year is what, hey, what he should dine on, you know, what fans look back on and feel this could be the necessary or required element for the Leafs to get, all the way to the Stanley Cup, but at least into the third round or something like that. So I think people are sitting back and believing, because of his track record, deservedly so, that it's going to make a difference.
You're watching and listening to Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590 The Fan and former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, Gord, it wasn't that far off ago. We were coming off of a five-game winning streak, and it looked like they may have been able to even distance themselves past Florida or Tampa in the Atlantic Division, and we were almost looking at, hey, could they finish first overall? Could they get a President's Trophy? Now, last night, we see Florida win, and the Leafs drop into second in the Atlantic Division. Can that hurt them, you know, in terms of psychologically here, moving forward a little bit, seeing them out of that position that many of us thought that they could legitimately hold on to till the rest of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you're trying to look for something different, and we've talked about it all year. Make Scotiabank Arena a tough place to play in. Get home ice advantage in the playoffs, okay? So you ideally could draw a weaker opponent, which there seemed like there will be. You know, something like that, something different, something you can sink your teeth into. And I've been talking about, you know, but they're joining. You're joining the accordion here, that accordion in the East. And Kippy, you probably know the Schmenge brothers. That was great. But also, remember the great legendary Johnny and Jimmy on Dialing for Dollars? You know, all that stuff. You don't see the accordion very often anymore. So all of a sudden, they're starting to get pressed in. Tampa Bay and Boston are worse, but the Leafs are, no, come on. Let's get it back there. Let's get some breathing room. Let's kick a little ass, okay? Get away from the guys in the shallow end.
Yeah, well, I like
that. Brilliant.
I do like the theory.
Very well done, Gord.
So as they, you know, kind of go through this malaise, if you will, how much do you chalk it up to injuries? Like, John Tavares, whatever you think of his contract, he's an important player for this team. Matthew Nyes has missed games. They've had a lot of guys out this year, Gord.
So it's funny, Justin. You look, the Boston Bruins, you know, they've been struggling. No Hampus Lindholm, no Charlie McAvoy. Like, wow. I mean, those are two pieces. But what surprises you is the Bruins, because they've been a better team the last whatever number of years than the Leafs, when they had those injuries, somebody put a Bruin jersey on, like, say, Mike Riley did or whatever, and came up and, you know, filled that void. And that's something the Leafs did when they had all those forwards injured. Last year when they had their, you know, bunch of D injured, it seemed like they played their best kind of hockey. So, you know, it's part of the game. If you're going to be one of the elite teams, which they should be, then I can't stand injuries as the go-to excuse. Yeah. We've heard it from the Jays for so many years about that. So it is part of the game. You got to be bigger than the officiating calls, and you got to be bigger than the injuries. So I don't put much into it.
Gord, we've known for the last 10, 11 years, Morgan Riley's kind of set the tone as the Leafs' number one defenseman. You've seen over many, many years the Toronto Maple Leafs, going back to when I was a kid, from Borja Salming to, like, you know, I don't know, Brian McCabe, Thomas Caberle. We've seen some guys carry the mail here over the – have you ever seen one struggle as much just in terms of individually, like Morgan in this last stretch?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, Brian McCabe was one that played on the Olympic team and then really struggled. But there were rule changes that came in 2005, which, you know, really impacted his play. Morgan Riley's an interesting case because so to answer your question, Kippy, probably no, because there's been no other, you know, regular stalwart on D, period. I mean, he's, you know, everybody else, whether it's Liljegren or Sandin or your guy Percy, guys they drafted, they don't stay for a long time or a good time. So Morgan Riley, what he's been at the top of his game, you know, been huge. Never a Norris Trophy guy, but certainly a good number one, number two kind of defenseman. And it just shows the difference that last year, you remember when he was getting suspended? Well, you know, before the suspension was announced, I mean, everyone was, you know, like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? And then, he got suspended 5 games. Now they're asking, what's going on with them? And even Craig Berube mentioned that, like, you know, and he just said, whether it's you got to do reps, you got to do whatever. I don't know what it is, but that's why he's not, you know, Cale Makar or somebody like that over the last 7, 8 years, because there's a 20-goal season, there's some excellent hockey, and there's some ordinary hockey. And the thing got, okay, who's his partner going to be? We all know how well it worked in a short sample with Luke Shen. But also, when you're one of the top 2D on the team, you're supposed to make other D better. You know, it's the kind of thing that you should be, they should send someone to partner with you to help their game. So that is one of the things you hope gets on track, because there's no question there's been ordinary hockey from him. I mean, we saw it with Caberle a bit, you know, that, and then fans can get on D a little bit quicker than they do on other positional players. But I've compared this D to hopefully what the Leafs were like in 93, 94, when you didn't have studs. You had Jamie McCowan, Sylvain Lefebvre, Dave Ellett, Bob Rouse, and one more. Anyway, it'll come to me. But anyway, that's the kind of Todd Gill, of course. How am I forgetting Todd Gill? Anyway, that's what I'm looking from that D. And they added Oliver Ekman-Larsson. They added Chris Tanev. Two excellent additions. So you're hoping you can get kind of that good pack mentality. But there's no question you need to get the best of Morgan Riley. And the other one is the goaltending. Like, that's to me the big question mark. It was number one in the league before Stolarz got hurt. Doesn't have to be number one in the league. But what is it going to be in game number 83?
Gord, how do you feel so about, I was going to ask you, the outdoor practice they had the other day? Kip and I talked about how cool the picture they had. They all, you know, the Toronto skyline in the background. How has the relationship with this team off the ice changed over the years? It was really cool seeing guys stick around, sign autographs, fans getting to interact with them. They're tough to access, obviously, in a city like this. But you've had a pretty good view of how that's changed.
Well, I was the guy, because I watched a lot of Colombo and Matlock and Barney Miller, that picked out Salute Gate. Okay, I was there with Ozzy after, and he goes, "Do you think this is a big deal? Like, we're doing our post game show," and I'm going, "Yeah, this is brutal." You know, Kessel and them, like, they're sticking it to the fans, and yeah. Then it became a big story, and I thought it was a big story because it was brutal, and it just showed the disconnect that particular group had. And individuals, a lot of guys on the team I like, but the disconnect they had about the role of the fans, whatever. So that's something that I've appreciated. The embracing the alumni, which my boss, Harold Ballard, was brutal about. He used to go, "Well, when you retire from IBM, they don't put a picture of you up, you know," but that wasn't the point. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs are different than IBM. So they've done a lot of those things right. And I think those things really matter, Justin. I think those things really matter. And what I've liked is last year at the All-Star game, guys like Austin Matthews, Morgan Riley, but Willie Nylander, just very comfortable with their roles, embracing they want to be here. You know, they understand that there's more notoriety here. There's not the great weather here. Really, but then really comfortable about themselves as individuals, how they fit, and I like that. I think that's a huge, huge positive. And we haven't had that for a long, long time, particularly homegrown players, you know, that want to stay. And so let's just hope it means something in the playoffs. Then you'll own the town forever, okay? And then people will be bugging you with the same old questions every year, because you talk to anybody, You know, Gary Roberts, another example. You know, he's had huge success elsewhere. There's no place to play like Toronto. Your Toronto experience is something that resonates in a very positive way the rest of your life.
Gord, we saw Austin Matthews named captain of the Team USA for the Four Nations face-off. And I think there's still some markets, even one here in Toronto, that still worry about players being hurt. But, you know, is there a chance that this tournament can kind of do something maybe for Matthews or even Marner, maybe even Willie with Team Sweden, that maybe reminded us of a Mario Lemieux coming out party with Wayne Gretzky in the 80s with Team Canada, Canada Cup?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, people forget Mario, his first six seasons, the Penguins did only made the playoffs once, okay? So he was on a bad team. And it was so to be able to play with those excellent players and elevate your game, I think was really significant. And then they had better players around them, but they won two consecutive Stanley Cups. And I think that's a great comparable, Kip. And it's funny, I look back, we had Paul Henderson, Ron Ellis in 1972. Daryl Sittler and Lanny McDonald became the big surprise line in 1976. Borja Salming was huge on Team Sweden in 76. And then nothing. Had Brian McCabe the 1 year play for a Canada team that was disappointing. Of course, Mats enjoyed that great gold medal with Sweden. I think it was 2006. So really, there's not been Toronto players even on a team for a long, long time. So I think it's a great opportunity for all three of them to play at that level, to play the equivalent of, hey, Stanley Cup final games, you know, just basically uncharted waters for them in the National Hockey League. And you look at Austin's going to be wearing the C, Willie's going to be wearing the A, you know, a little bit of a leadership thing that way. So I think it could be a hugely positive experience, which I think hopefully you're always trying to correlate it. You know, how will it benefit the Leafs? I got to think it would be a positive.
You think Leafs want Chris Tanev to go play for Canada?
Well, yes, but I got to say my first answer always is, first Tanev is so similar to Petrangelo. But boy, oh boy, Drew Doughty is a guy that when he wears the Canadian colors,
yeah.
And I liked that back when they won in 2014, it was a boring team that Babcock coached, except Drew Doughty said, screw it, I'm going to play my way. Or everyone else played the system. He said, screw it, I'm going to play the Drew Doughty way. And I always liked that. So he's still my number one guy just based on his pedigree and history. But it says a lot that when you say Chris Tanev's name, the quick thing is, as good a defensive shutdown defenseman as there is in the NHL. So that's a compliment in itself. But those would be my one and two picks.
There we are. Great job there, Barney Miller.
Okay, thanks, Fish.
I feel like I missed half of this segment.
Yes. Go Google the 70s, okay?
Back in our day.
The lovely Gord Stellick, Stellictricity, always great on the show. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Gordo.
See you guys.
See you, bud.
Yeah, I am hoping for Leaf fans that, like, one of those guys comes back, and especially Austin, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like, there's still times, like, the last game or last couple games where you're like, does not like, have that continuous step, right? That shot out of a cannon step. We see it when it's there, and then when it's not there, kind of slows down.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been better. You know, like I liked him last night. I know what you mean, though. He's definitely at his best when he skates.
But he's just got to score. That's all. I mean, at the end of the day.
He ripped that one off the bottom of the crossbar last night.
We had a conversation yesterday about Drew Doughty. He led the Kings in ice time.
No way.
Yeah. He met 23-51.
I said 25.
Yeah. I said around. I think I might have said. Half.
I think you said about 23.
Yeah, I think I might have been close.
22-23. But they were never, I think, really in the game.
He's also dash, too.
I think if
a 3-0 loss.
I think if they somehow found a way of protecting a lead, he probably would have got up to 27, 28.
Honestly, if they want him there and he is healthy when the time comes, he'll be there.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't need to go out and shoot it in the net a bunch. Like,
and the other thing, too, is he is a character, too. Yeah. Like, he's a personality, a real one. You want to engage people for the next 2 weeks with a guy that can play like that, but still be a draw for people to kind of...
He's the man.
He's the man.
He's the man.
He can sell the game,
Take
that's
him.
For sure.
Yep. Take him. No question about it. All right, our thanks to Gord Stellick. That was a fast hour. When we return, Jason York, co-host of Coming in Hot Sense podcast, will join us. And we'll get into the other captains as well, also named in the Four Nations tournament. Back after these words, Real Kipper and Bourne.